Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
The calendar may say it's winter, but it's always a good time to be focusing on the boys of summer. From the stars who make the plays on the diamond to the ones who make the decisions in the front office, let's bring you inside your hometown nine with Inside Twins. Inside Twins is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
Well, hello and welcome once again to Inside Twins. It's our final Inside Twins feature program of the offseason because guess what? Baseball is just around the corner. I'm Chris Atterbury. I am live here at the Lee Health Sports Complex. We got our old buddy Kirby Puckett here in the background through no shortage of hard labor. We've got baseballs, and we hope no baseballs end up in the booth over the course of the next half hour as we are currently watching live batting practice sessions here. Jeff Brigham currently throwing, I think Eddie Julian already is quibbling about the strike zone as he takes one just off the outside corner. So workouts underway on a nice day here in Fort Myers. And as you saw on our billboard, if you're joining us on any of our wonderful online platforms here, great guest today is Joe Ryan, who is kind enough to join us from the other part of the ballpark here. And Joe, you look a little different than in that billboard. The billboard had that long flow, that lovely mane coming out the back of your hat. You are freshly shorn here as you get started in 2024. What's the scoop on the haircut?
Annual practice. Usually get one at the beginning of the off season and one at the end of the off season. So, shave clean and cut the hair and start fresh.
I like that. Keep it nice and simple. Two haircuts a year. Keep it on the baseball clock. And we really appreciate you joining us. I know you've already had your workout for today and spring training. The schedule is always quite complex. Everybody, and there are hundreds of bodies here in camp with a different amount of work to get done. So we'll jump right into it and start by looking back at last year and not to dwell on it, but when you look at your season, a lot to really like. You battled some injury issues in the middle of the season. What did you learn about yourself and what are you taking away from last year that you can bring into this 2024 campaign?
Yeah, definitely some ups and downs, but I think just focusing and winning at the end of the season was just a great way to cap it off and to keep going forward. There's also just that hunger in your mouth not making it all the way to the end of the playoffs. But I think just getting my first taste of that was so exciting, and you just get to feel that energy. And I mean, the crowd in Minnesota was spectacular. It was pretty amazing for the first game to the last game. So that's just in the back of all of our minds that played there, just to get back to that point. So had a good off season, feeling really good in camp, and just liking a lot of the faces we're seeing here. So it's I'm excited for the season.
We're going to talk about some of those faces, but I'm glad you brought up the atmosphere. And it's been a big topic in the off season because Target Field was off the hook for those playoff games. You're no stranger to big games. I mean, you played in the medal round of the Olympics. Now, it was a little different in terms of the environment, but what was that, or can you compare that playoff atmosphere at Target Field to any other environment that you've played in?
Yeah, I think the Olympics are probably the closest, that I've been to that environment. Obviously, it's a little different when you have that many fans versus a COVID situation where there was only supposed to be media there, but that was interesting. that situation, it's a do or die the whole time. So you're so locked in, and I felt that intensity as well in the postseason, but then just having the crowds and being at home, it really is just such an extra push for all the players on the field. And I think it really turns up what we always say of just one pitch at a time and every pitch matters. And I think you really just feel that a little bit extra in the postseason. And but when things go wrong, the crowd's still there. And when you have that home field advantage, it really matters. So Excited for that, and hopefully more games like that throughout the regular season as well.
You talk about intensity, and you're locked in over the course of the entirety of the baseball season. So the off season becomes important to rebalance yourself. And you've always done a great job of having pursuits outside of baseball, but you also spend a lot of your off season working to get better, whether it's going to driveline or trying to work on some of the details of your game. Let's start with the relaxing part. What did you do to find yourself? Did you spend time on the surfboard? Did you travel? What did Joe Ryan do with his off time before getting back into the office?
Yeah, I didn't get to surf as much as I would have liked, a little bit due to weather and waves and other stuff, just more time focusing on maybe going to PT a little bit more. Added that in consistency, which was great. But yeah, definitely got some good waves in. One of my favorite surfers, Torin Martin. I saw he's up in my neck of the woods up in San Francisco right now. And so kind of I'm trying to get one of my buddies to go out there and try to track him down and get a good day at OB. But yeah, I had some good time surfing with my friends at Ocean Beach and some other little small spots. So that was super fun, good to relax. I think the common theme talking to everyone, the off season just went by so fast this year. Those extra couple of weeks really make a difference. And yeah, I got to see a lot of friends, family, and there's one of my best friends had a pretty big wedding and had the whole group back together. So it was good to see everyone and spend some time together. And I think that's always a pretty important time for the off season for us because we don't get to see everyone throughout the year.
Well, I hope your off season's even shorter coming up at the end of this season. And I think that's what everybody is hoping for. On the work side, you'd been at Driveline the previous off season. You came back with a wonderful split finger. You had the sweeper as well. Did you go back? And if so, what were you looking to hone in on this off season?
Yeah, I did go back. And I think it's a great atmosphere to be a part of and just get to work on new pitches. For me, it was a little easier, I guess, mentally in the off season, knowing how those pitchers can perform when they're in the right spot. So we weren't like reinventing and adding the split or the sweeper. It was just honing those in and figuring out when they're at their best, what are we doing? And just sticking to those strengths. So that was great just to have Chris Langan and his support was great. And I think throughout the year, just being able to communicate with Pete and what we were working on in the off season and being able to have that when things kind of went the wrong direction, let's say. And yeah, having that as like a extra set of eyes is really valuable. So working with him has been pretty influential and as far as my pitch development.
The voice of Joe Ryan, Twins starting pitcher. This is Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, where memories are created and legends are made. You know, you're a guy who has that good rise fastball. It comes from the low arm angle. You get a ton of strikeouts with it. We've talked to a lot of pitchers and front office folks in this offseason, and they've talked about how hitters have tried now to catch up to that pitch. And we're now seeing maybe the sinker come back into play in this constant game of adjustments. Last year, people talk about it as the year of the sweeper, working on that horizontal movement. A lot of people think this year more split fingers. Now, you used that to great effect a year ago. Have you noticed hitters changing their approach to try to get on top of your fastball? And are you working on ways to now come back with yet another alternative they have to deal with?
Yeah. You're always going to notice that. Obviously, if you have a strength pitch, that's going to be highlighted in their hitters meetings and they're going to be thinking about that. So yeah, I think it's still just recognizing that if you throw it to your strength location and you're convicted in that, there's a lot of good things happen. So adding in some new things. I'm throwing a sinker now, speaking of which, so that was kind of, yeah, I've been toying with it a little bit. We'll see how it gets used this year, but it's been a fun pitch. I was kind of pushing it last year to see about throwing it in there, but I think it's just not the right time to obviously add things in the middle of the season. But yeah, it feels like a pretty good pitch and it feels comfortable to throw. So again, I think that goes back to the driveline aspect of just learning, understanding who you are and what your strengths are and what adjustments can be made to get pitches that you might want. So that it was pretty simple, just all the knowledge I've gained from driveline and from Pete and from everyone with the Twins staff. So it's been really, it's been a simpler process than if I was just trying to do it on my own.
so much information, and pitchers and hitters are so good. You have to have something that goes every which direction, yeah. because if you stay static, boy, you're going to get cut up to. So interesting. It's an ongoing battle between
pitchers. Keeps pitcher. It fun, too.
Yeah, it keeps it the chess match, right? Like you're constantly mentally working on that. One question that people ask, I think, a lot is, what is a day at spring training like? Because there's meetings in the morning, then players scatter all over the complex. Walk us through, what's a typical day for you? And you can pick whether it's a day where maybe you have a heavier throwing day or whether you have a lighter day. What is a day like in the life of Joe Ryan at spring training?
Yeah, some autographs for sure. And I think it's coming in right now. We're getting some good breakfast in, and then usually have a meeting. The days are a little long right now, but it's kind of nice, I think, just as a pitcher and doing what I get to do. It's probably the easiest job at the field. So the downtime isn't too bad, and we're here to play baseball. So the long days haven't been really an issue for me. But yeah, getting our good lifts in, good movement prep, working with the training staff in the morning, seeing what we got to do for the day, and then going out. And we got a little extended stretch this year. I think the common theme has been more running. So maybe those 2 seconds are getting everyone a little antsy about get the cardio up. So yeah, running a little bit more, which has been fine so far. Get some PFPs in every day, work on our picks and grips and everything in the mirror. Get off the mound, do some plyos off there for a little bit before we start throwing, and have a good play catch. Focus on that. Take my time there. And yeah, I was just lifting before I came up here, and then I'll go check with Nick and see what he has on the agenda for me today, and hop in the tubs and go get some food.
Yeah, it's a long day. It's a busy day. It is incredibly well scheduled. It's remarkable how so many different players and everybody has unique needs, how they're all met over the course of spring training and how it's all charted out. One topic that's
putting that schedule together.
Yeah, to give Nate Dahman some love here for putting that daily schedule all color coded, the different fonts. He's got it down.
He got it down too with that rain we had, threw things off a little bit, and he was just right there. So, good job, Nate.
There you go. Nate Dahman is the early star of this edition of Inside Twins. Last question before we jump out of this segment. Big topic nationally, and part of it, I think, is there's not a lot to talk about yet. There haven't been spring training games. Is uniforms. And I don't want to get into what they look like or anything like that. But the part I wanted to get your input on was, one of the things that pops up in a lot of these stories is that the pants are not customizable for pitchers. And a lot of us are like, okay, what does that mean? How important is that? What does that mean as a pitcher in terms of being able to customize your pants so that y'all end up, don't look like Robbie Ray or, can figure out how to be most comfortable while you're working?
Yeah, the pants are definitely, everyone has their own little tweaks they want to make. And to be honest, Nike's never got my pants right. So this is kind of the same thing for me. There's always something wrong, but yeah, I think I had like Louis Arise's pants 1 year and Snow's next. So, I mean, I'm going to go pitch regardless. I might have to pull a Chris Sale at some point if they get a little, funky, but, I don't know. I think, we'll figure it out. Hot Rod's so good and our clubhouse staff is great. So they're able to make some adjustments for us if we have some problems with the fit there, but, yeah, I haven't tried on the whites yet. The jersey tops are definitely a little snug, so I might have to take that snow jersey size back. We'll see. But, I don't know. I really don't spend too much time thinking about it. I know other guys have had their opinions throughout the league, so I'll let them handle that side. But, I think the pants are important for different people. Obviously, Pablo likes – I was telling him yesterday, I was like, if you could just pitch in leggings, you would. So maybe they'll do that. They like that tight fit. So
Wearing Sano's top and a Rise bottom, you're going to strike out 200 times and then get 200 hits. So that could be a pretty good year. You might want to save Louis' pants just in case you ever have to pinch it. You probably got an opposite field single in those trousers.
Yeah.
Joe Ryan's our guest. Our show is Inside Twins. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. Quick break. When we come back, we'll go down memory lane. We'll play Photo Album with Joe Ryan right here from the Lee Health Sports Complex in Southwest Florida on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back. The show is Inside Twins. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, where memories are created and legends are made. Chris Atterbury from Inside Press Box Level here at the Lee Health Sports Complex. Field below us is now quiet as the live BPs have finished up for the day. But our show, anything but quiet, because Joe Ryan is kind enough to join us from downstairs. And Joe, this has been kind of a way to spice up the off-season show for us. As we have dug into the archives, we've used friends and family members to dig up some old pictures. And then we have you add some captions here. And for those of you joining us on our various social media platforms, whether it be our YouTube channel, whether it be the Twins Facebook page, it's been a whole lot of fun. For those of you joining us on our fine network of radio affiliates, I do encourage you to go back, find the podcast version, and check out some of these pictures. So, Joe, we'll jump into your photo album here. Oh, I love the first one right off the bat. Let's start with this. That's you on a boat. Looks like you're out in the bay. I'm saying that's a Pacific salmon. That's my guess.
King salmon or something. That's my best friend Wally. He's a fireman now up in the same area. So he's the one that surfs OB when it's too big for me to go out now. So he's a charger. But we cruised out to the Farallons or something that day. One of my dad's buddies had a little Boston Whaler, so we'd zip out there every once in a while, and good times.
Yeah, that's a good looking fish right there, and you got the life jacket.
I think the biggest we got like a 35-pounder one time, and that was a huge deal. But good times.
Do you ever fish down here while you're in Southwest Florida?
I don't. I got to go. Stalmont's going a lot, so I gotta go with him one time, and then maybe Theobar. Theobar was gonna take me out one time last year. We had it all lined up and didn't work out, but
Caleb is better than any guy. He is a fishing savant, the same way he makes beautiful new pitches up every year in his secret pitching lab. He can find where all the fish are, so I think that's a pretty good guy to go out with. All right, let's take a look now at this next one. I like this one an awful lot. Tell us about this lovely lady.
It's my mom.
Looks like maybe senior day.
Senior day, I was just seeing. I was like, "When is this?" Senior day, back in high school, and wouldn't be here without my mom.
Everybody talks about baseball with fathers and sons playing catch, but man, parents all have an impact. Nobody gets to the big leagues on their own. Tell us a bit more about your mom and about the impact she had on and still has on your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the example she set with how hard she works and everything she did for me from obviously the day I was born till today. So talk to my mom a lot. And it's always just someone who has my back and just there for me all the time. So I'm excited for her to come out. She'll be there for opening day. So it'll be great to have her there. And
fantastic. And let's stay in the high school era here, but let's jump in the pool. Everybody knows that you were quite the water polo guy in your day. Great extension, by the way.
Scap load.
How did you get into water polo?
My dad played in college for a little bit and just played in high school and stuff. And a lot of my friends were on the swim team. So I hadn't been swimming at the time, but there was a water polo camp when I was in like fourth grade, I think, and went to that and was hooked. And then just kept playing and played fifth grade, joined the swim team and swimming a bunch and, playing water polo. And that was swim team was like, you got to swim to be in shape for water polo, but, it's just such a fun time and just going to tournaments and, everything, you're with your friends the whole time. So it's kind of nice. It's a lot different because you'd play like a game would be like 45 minutes ish. And then we'd play two or three games in a day sometimes. So when you go to a tournament on the weekends, it was kind of fun. You'd play in the morning super early and then we'd go get a huge breakfast and maybe go see a movie, chill out, play another game and kind of do the same thing again and then play another game and then pass out in the car on the way home. And, that was always so fun. That whole group is still pretty close. So, it's just a great sport.
It's an amazing sport, and what I didn't really get into or even know anything about until I got to college. But one thing people don't realize, I think, is how physical water polo is. Now, the swimming you can see on the surface, but tell everybody a little bit about what's going on under the water, because it can get vicious down there under the surface.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I only played in high school, so it's a little different. And our water polo coach was incredibly successful in his college career and won 2 national championships and was MVP and a really good goalie. But his biggest thing was just preaching not to play super dirty. So our league wasn't that dirty in that way. I mean, obviously, you're going to take a couple hits here and there, but nothing too gnarly. And definitely when we'd go down south, down to the SoCal tournaments, it was definitely a little bit of an awakening sometimes. So that was always interesting, but they tried to have us just take the higher ground most of the time. But obviously there's exceptions for people that are not playing the right way. But yeah, in college, it definitely can get a little aggressive.
Classic Southern California behavior. Now, speaking of heading down south, that's where you initially began your college career. I love this shot of you as a matador. I've called games at that little ballpark there at Cal State Northridge. First of all, you look like 11 years old. It is a phenomenal picture. The hat is gigantic. Talk about your college experience, because you took a winding route because you knew exactly where you wanted to end up, which is here. And the route started in Northridge, but that's not where it ended.
Yeah. Going to Northridge, the pitching coach was at USF the year prior and had a really successful campaign there. And had some very talented arms come out of there, and was going to Northridge. It was going to be a new program. And it was just exciting, and just how he pitched it and other coaches in the area that had suggested I should go there and work with him. So made that decision, went down there. Wasn't my favorite location, to be honest, but it was there to work. So and get to this final goal. It's definitely a grind, but I think lessons to be learned from there, and just how much hard work can pay off, and what that really means, and how far you can push yourself. So definitely some strenuous days, weeks and years, but it was a good time. Learned a lot from there, and then I got to go to the Cape through my time at Northridge and played out there for 2 summers, and that was a good time. And then had some little nagging injuries and stuff, and I think it was just time to get a clean slate, and went up to Stanislaus State, where just probably the perfect transition going from the program at Northridge to moving into pro ball. Funny enough, I actually almost signed with the Twins after my junior year at Northridge. It was kind of like a little opportunity that I was going to sign in, and Eric Cressy was, I guess, had a relationship with Falvey, and they were talking about it. I was throwing bullpens, I was throwing well, and then they were trying to work something out, and it didn't obviously happen. But then I went to Stanislaus, pitched well, and went to the Rays, and then ended up here anyway. So
that's a great story. I mean, leave it to Derek, right, who began his career making scouting videos in the Cape, to find you out there throwing and try to sneak in the side door, and eventually got his man. Yeah. Twins fans are grateful for that. Joe Ryan, Twins starting pitcher, joining us from the Lee Health Sports Complex here in Fort Myers. We'll take one final break. When we come back on Inside Twins, your questions right here on your home for Twins baseball. It's the final segment of our final edition of Inside Twins here as we head into the 2024 campaign. Of course, Twins baseball will be on the air on many of these stations coming up over the course of the weekend, to start with the Gopher game on Friday, and then on into the weekend. Dan Gladden and I will have all the action for you, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Right now, though, taking your questions, and we appreciate everybody who's joined us via the various Twins social media platforms, the Facebook page, the YouTube page, and offered their questions all season long, all off-season long, I should say, here on the Twins Hot Stove Show. So let's get as many as we can for Joe Ryan. I'll take the first question, Joe, and it's going to be a real simple one. How long before, if Twins fans are coming down here, before we'll see you in spring training games? What's the ramp up look like, the runway for you to pitch against some other teams here in the Grapefruit League?
Looks like I'm going to throw a bullpen tomorrow, and then I got a live BP coming in on Saturday, and then I should be in a game the following week. I'm not certain exactly on the day, but yeah, I think it's a home game. So yeah,
there you have it, fans. If you're going to be down here in the next week and a half, chance perhaps to see Joe right here making his Grapefruit League debut. Let's see what the listeners and the fans have drummed up. We'll start with Lindsay here. Your favorite restaurant in Minnesota?
That's a tough one. I got a secret spot that I can't – I don't know if the radio is the best spot. I don't want to – I guess
– Well, if you don't tell people, maybe they go out of business. I mean, you want
– you know, I go there quite a bit. I think they'll be fine. But that's more like a breakfast spot. But I really like that new restaurant, Porzana, over in the North Loop. They do a really good job. Sanjusan is a place I'll go to a bit. Young Joni's really good.
The back room too is pretty nice there.
Yeah. They got that fun little photo booth too. What else? I've been to Spoon and Stable like a couple times, which is pretty good. Mara, that new restaurant in the Four Seasons under there, is good. But Porzana so far and Sanjusan are my go-tos, I'd say, just because I try to just walk over to dinner usually, not to give away where I live, I guess.
Ride your bike.
Ooh,
that's a pretty good start.
Martina is really good as well.
I ain't out of my neighborhood when you come down to Martina.
There's an Asian one that's out in – oh, God. They have this like mango fish.
Mango fish. Now you get me hungry.
Oh, Ross is good too. The chicken place.
And Ross is very good.
Got to get a parlor burger too.
So you're making the rounds, Lindsay. Oh, you have tapped into a vein here with Joe Ryan, and I think we probably ought to put a show together where you just do restaurant reviews.
Yeah.
And we air them every week.
Whole Foods is just a staple too. You got to go there, get a nice steak, fire up the cast iron. I think I'm lucky enough. The new place I'm staying in this year has a gas stove because I can't do those little electric burner things. They drive me.
You don't want that.
Yeah, you can't. So I have a real flame, which I'm excited about.
All right, Lindsay, you tapped into a good vein here. This is going to be tough to follow that question up, but let's see what else we might have. Tyler, are we going to get to see Jack make an appearance on the field at all this year? Trust Triangle.
Oh, there we go. Tyler Weeks is he's the head coach at now Archie Williams High School, my former high school, and he was my catcher there, and we won a championship there. So he's I just threw a bullpen with him. What was that? 2 weeks ago now. So he's still doing it. Yes, we will definitely get to see Jack this year. We got a new puppy, so I'll bring him to the field. Hopefully as much as I can.
We're going to have a bark at the park. First bark at the park ever at Target Field, which I think is because Josh Stelmont asked for it last week on this very show. So we are making a difference.
Good.
So your puppy's name is Jack Ryan?
Yes. Yeah. It was so his given name when we got him. It was a perfect story when we got him. My girlfriend's been wanting a dog forever and I've wanted one, but it's just like such a, I guess, hiccup with the scheduling and flying and everything. So, we were like kind of loosely looking at different options. And then we walked into the store on Christmas Eve and we were doing some last minute shopping. And there's this really cute puppy that this lady was holding and we were petting him and got to hold him. And he was just the best dog. And they're like, yeah, he's actually just a foster. We're looking for a new home. So it couldn't have worked out better. And we ended up adopting him and he has just been the best dog, except for he pees inside a little too much. So we're working on that right now. He's still like 4 months old, but good dog.
Jack Ryan, secret agent dog.
Sorry. I was going on this. His name was Bo, and then Farmer had to go and have another son and obviously give him a name of Bo. So I'm like, all right, we got to change his name. Hopefully Farmer's Bo really likes him, so they get along well.
It could have been Bo Ryan, the former Wisconsin basketball coach, and said it's the secret agent Jack Ryan. So
yeah, exactly. Or it could be Bojack too. We'll see. Yeah.
Ooh, Bojack Dogman instead of Horseman. All right. Beast Mode Rocco joins us almost every week, and we love the questions almost as much as we love the picture. What's your favorite dugout story from your time with the Twins?
Dugout story. I don't have any good dugout story. I mean, stories that are told in the dugout, but I can't live confidential, so I can't. I think something was kind of random. It was like a game in the middle of the summer or something, and they turned the heaters on the bench, and I keep Snickers bars in my little goodie bag for during the games, and they all melted. So
I like that.
It was a little frustrating, but yeah, that's fine.
That's a good story. That's a good shareable story. All right, one more question. This will be the final question of the Twins Hot Stove Show this year. Hey, pretty straightforward from Drew. Joe, are you aiming for a Cy Young Award this year?
Sure. I mean, That'd be great. I think you're taking every start as serious as you can. So if that happens to be there at the end of the year, it's there. If not, hopefully you had a really good year as well. And second or third is on the list too. I think that's everyone's goal every year, whether they say it or not. But you want to be the best player you can be. So that's really the only goal you can have. So much of that, the accolades and awards are out of your control. And you can't really put too much weight on someone like that.
But with this group of starting pitchers, again, I think we're going to see the Twins highly competitive throughout the summer and into the fall. And they're going to be led, as they were a year ago, by Joe Ryan and his mates in the rotation, and a very deep and talented and multifaceted bullpen as well. Joe, we really appreciate your time here today. We'll let you get out of here and get on with the rest, wrap up your day here at spring training. I want to thank everybody who joined us on our various social media platforms and on all of these great network affiliates all off-season long here on Inside Twins. And more importantly, I want to welcome all of you. The 2024 season will be on the air with actual baseball coming up on Friday right here on your home, Twins Baseball.
You have been listening to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.